Well, I'm assuming you have your Bibles tonight since this is a Baptist church, so let's turn to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. This is going to be a topical message tonight, and on the subject of pride. And I plan to preach on humility next week and give the opposite side of it, but I want to look at this important subject because pride is one of our greatest enemies as Christians. It will motivate us to do things that are sinful, and it will hinder us from bringing glory to God. There's nothing, I believe, that can destroy a church more than pride. And did you know that one of the requirements for revival is humility? And so this is something that we certainly want to know more about and avoid it as if all possible. But here in Proverbs 29, verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You know, we're going to be looking at that first statement here of this proverb. A man's pride shall bring him low. Let's pray. Father, thank you for truth that you've given us in your word, for principles. And Lord, thank you for the warnings that you give us in your word to help us as your people. And Lord, I'm sometimes preaching on a subject like this is not easy because pride affects every one of us, including myself. Lord, but I pray that your Holy Spirit would search us tonight and try our hearts. Lord, that if there be pride in us, Lord, help us to recognize it, so that we might turn from it, that we might repent of it. And Lord, that your church might prosper and grow. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this is the sad truth, that pride is a problem that we all have. You're like, preacher, what? It's true. We all have a problem with pride, but listen to this part. But we're too proud to admit it. You know, when we allow pride to rule in our lives, what we do is we push Christ to the side. Real pride, sinful, destructive pride, is simply a declaration of independence from God. That's what it is. It says, God, I'm self-sufficient. I have everything I need. Your services are no longer required. That's really what it is, though we don't want to admit that when we have the sin of pride in our lives. And let me say this, as dangerous as pride is, it is also very difficult to spot it. I'm talking about spot it in our own lives. Have you ever heard the saying, I am the least prideful person I know? You know, we can laugh at that, but we can subconsciously take on that attitude. You know, we all know people that we could characterize as prideful, arrogant people. But we have to be careful, because pride shows up in the lives of every one of us, and sometimes without us recognizing it. So the purpose of the message tonight is just help each of us to do a self-evaluation. You know, this I'm preaching to myself tonight, okay? As well as preaching to you. This is a message that, let me just say this, if we listen to this message or any message for that matter, and we give in to this temptation that instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to do surgery in our hearts, instead we're thinking about somebody else that needs the message. You know what that is? Pride. You know, when we sit down to listen to a message, I don't get to very often unless I listen to a podcast or something, because I'm always in the pulpit most of the time. But when I do get that opportunity to sit, I ask God to show me something. I ask God to speak to me. I'm not thinking about my wife. I'm not thinking about my kids. I'm not thinking about my neighbor. I'm thinking about me. God, what do you want of me? And that's the nature of this message. Now, let's look at our own lives, because pride, as I said, is one of our greatest enemies as Christians. I read a story about a woman that went to her pastor, and she said, "Pastor, I have a besetting sin, and I want your help. I come to church on Sunday and thinking I'm the prettiest girl in the congregation. I know I ought not to think that, but I can't help it. I want you to help me with that." And the pastor said, "Mary, don't worry about it. In your case, it's not a sin. It's a terrible mistake." There was a pastor that received a Christmas card one Christmas from a member in his church. It was a lady in his congregation, and she was just bragging on his preaching and even comparing him with some of the great preachers. And she finished by saying, "I think you're one of the really great preachers of all time." So later that day, he went home, he showed the card to his wife, and his wife said, "Who is that woman?" And you figured she wouldn't be suspicious. Man, this lady's really buttering him up. But anyway, this is what he told his wife. He said, "She is a very intelligent woman in the congregation who loves great preaching." And he then asked his wife, "How many great preachers do you suppose there really are in this world?" And she said this to her husband, "One less than you think." You know, pride can be so subtle. I mean, we can have it and not know it. We can be prideful and not recognize it. What is pride? Well, I looked it up. It's inordinate self-esteem. The unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority, whether in talents, beauty, wealth, or rank. It means to act arrogantly, to have a high opinion of one's own worth. It means self-conceit, or to show oneself above others. Those are just some of many definitions of pride, but I think we all get the point. This is what some great preachers of times past said about pride. Alan Redpath, he said, "Pride is the idolatrous worship of ourselves, and that it is the national religion of hell." Thomas Manton said, "Pride is the cause of all other sins." Now, if that is true, think about how dangerous this sin is in our life. He also said, "Pride was the sin that changed angels into devils." James Montgomery Boyce said, "The root of pride is saying that we can do without God." John Mason said, "As the first step heavenward is humility, the first step hellward is pride." You know, those are all some great quotes about pride. What does the Bible say about it? You know, we read one verse here in Proverbs 29 that a man's pride shall bring him low. But let's look at some other verses. Go back in Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. Did you know there are some things that God hates? You know, people today in our generation, really? God is love, isn't he? God is a God of love. God can't hate anything. No, there are some things that God hates. In Proverbs 6:16, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him." Look at the first thing in verse 17. A proud look. A proud look. God hates it. God hates pride. Look in Proverbs 8:13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." So it says here that people who fear God will hate pride. You know, I preached not long ago about the fear of the Lord. But if we don't have the fear of the Lord, then we're pretty much going to be prideful. Go to Psalm 10 and verse 4. You know, there are hundreds of verses in Proverbs, but we're just doing a little sampling in the scripture here. In Psalm 10 and verse 4, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." What does this verse tell us? Well, it says that pride will keep sinners from seeking God. If it will prevent the wicked from seeking God, well, it could also prevent Christians from seeking God as well. Let's go back to Proverbs again. Proverbs 13:10. "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." You know, the Bible says that contention is caused by pride. You know, what pride does is it keeps us from admitting that we could be wrong. If you offend someone, what pride will do is it will keep you from asking forgiveness. If you realize that you need to reconcile with someone, pride will keep you from it. Contention. He said, "Only by pride cometh contention." So anytime there's contention in our lives, it's because of pride. Proverbs 16:18. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Well, that's a pretty strong verse. If you want to fall, if you want to be destroyed, then just let pride have its way in your life. Let's go to the New Testament, just a couple of verses in the New Testament, in James 4, 6. In James 4, 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know, when we have pride, when we're prideful, when we're arrogant, God will resist us. How many of you tonight want God to resist you? I mean, think about it. When you want to pray about a need, when you want to go to God, when you're in need, how would you like God to just resist you? I don't know about you, but I want God on my side. I want God working for me. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all ye be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. There we see it again. You know, the Bible's filled with the examples of people who fail because of pride, who are brought low because of pride. I'm not going to take the time to go to all these references. I want to just kind of just jog your memory with some examples, and then we're going to look at some ways to recognize pride in our life, and that's going to be the main part of the message tonight. But when I think of examples of pride, the first one that comes to my mind is Lucifer. You know, how he was lifted up and he wanted to be like God. And you know, he was cast down. He was brought low because of his pride. I think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, pride influenced them, the pride of life. You know, John warns us about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. All of those sins were committed in the Garden of Eden. Because that fruit, the devil said, he'll make you to be like unto God. You'll be like him. You'll be gods, knowing good and evil. And so their pride to be like God caused them to fall. I think of Cain. It was pride that caused him to kill his brother. I think of Joseph's brothers. Pride provoked them to sell their brother into slavery. They said, who is this guy? He's not going to rule over us. They didn't like his dream that he dreamed. But let's remember, that dream came from God. And that dream was fulfilled. It was a prophecy. They were brought low, were they not? Later, when Joseph ruled in Egypt, they were brought very low. They were on their knees before him, begging for his mercy. I think of King Saul. Pride caused him to envy David and want to murder David. King Hezekiah. Pride led him to foolishly show his nation's wealth to his enemies. He went and showed them everything. Here's one that many of you would probably think of when you think of pride is Haman and Esther, the book of Esther. That prideful man that, because Mordecai would not bow down to him because he wasn't going to worship a man. Mordecai was a man of conviction. He wanted to honor his God. And Haman plotted against Mordecai to kill him. He even built a gallows to hang Mordecai. But you know the story, how it ended up. Haman was hanged on his own gallows. I think of King Herod in the book of Acts in chapter 12. When the people begin to say, hey, you're a god, they begin to worship him. Pride destroyed him, brought him low. Those are some of many, many examples in the Bible. You can see that you don't want this sin in your life. It's something that we need to deal with. But how can I recognize it in my life? How can I recognize what are some indications of pride creeping up in our lives? Because as I said, it's hard sometimes to recognize pride. And a few of these points that I'm going to share tonight, I think I have maybe 10. I'm going to go through them quickly. Don't get worried now. 10-point sermon, and we're already quite a ways into the sermon. But some of these points comes from Jonathan Edwards. He had a sermon, 7 Signs of Pride or something like that. But the first one I want to share tonight, some indications of pride creeping up in your life, very little time spent in prayer. That's an indication of pride. What that is suggesting, if I don't pray very much, it means I'm not relying on God. It means I'm self-sufficient. It means that I'm independent of God. I don't really need Him. I'm doing okay without Him. I'm getting along just fine. So if you're spending very little time in prayer, I want you to know something. It's an indication of pride creeping up in your life. The second indication would be weariness in serving God. Weariness in serving God. How's that an indication of pride? Well, we get weary sometimes in serving God because we're trying to do more than God intends. Which means that maybe I'm not letting God order my day. Maybe it's because I'd spent so little time in prayer that I'm working so feverishly and so hard, and I'm weary because of it. You know, you might not think of that as an indication of pride, but it is. Sometimes we think that we're the only ones that can do the job, so we've got to do it. And so we work ourselves to weariness. Listen, we can't do it all. You do what God calls you to do and let Him order your steps. Don't try to do everything. And listen, sometimes in churches, because Christians are not doing what God called them to do, Christians are not serving like God called them to serve, that others try to take up all the slack and they get weary. But listen, sometimes we just got to let it go and say, okay, this is God's church. I can't do any more than God wants me to do. If it don't get done, then it's God's church. It's His church. So what do? We go back to praying and praying, and God, please work in people's hearts and show them their need and rise up and serve. Another indication of pride is anger issues. When we have anger issues in our lives, it can mean that I'm not trusting God's sovereign plan and God's timing. I'm trying to take that control from Him. So anger issues can be an indication of pride. There's another one, fault finding. This is one that Jonathan Edwards had in his. Pride can often cause us to filter out the sin in our own lives while pinpointing the sin in other people's lives. You know, Jesus in Matthew 7, what did He say in verse 5? He said, you need to remove that beam from your own eye before you can Remove the mote from your brother's eye. You know, if we are continually focusing on the sin or the faults in others, it can be evidence of pride in our lives. Right. It's pride that prompts us to do that. Now, let me say this. Finding fault is different than loving correction. There is a difference. You know what the difference is? Pride. That's the difference. So if we are constantly finding fault with others, you know what we might need to do? Realize that when we're pointing that finger at somebody, and I'm not pointing at anybody out here, okay? I'll point it this way. Remember, I got three fingers pointing back at me. Right. What I'm saying is if we're finding fault in people, maybe we need to start looking at our own lives. Let me share with you another one. This is the opposite of this fault finding, and that is, it's a build up on that, and then the next one after that is going to be opposite. But the next one is a critical spirit. You know, this goes along a lot of times with fault finding, where we develop this very critical spirit. It's like from our high and mighty seat, we criticize others. And I want you to stop and think about this. I'm talking about this harsh criticism, this superiority. A critical spirit is not born out of humility. It's born out of pride. You know, when we have this pride in our lives and we have a critical spirit, guess what? It's going to really hurt our family members. It's going to hurt our church members. It's going to hurt people around us. Pride will bring you low every time. Pride will bring destruction every time. When we are busy about bringing others down to lift up ourselves, it's pride. Now, here's the opposite one. Here's another one. A defensive reaction to criticism. So when you're on the other side, when you're not having the critical spirit, but somebody is criticizing you, and you have a defensive reaction to that, it's pride. See, true humility is not knocked off balance and thrown into defensive posture by challenge or rebuke. Let me ask you a question. Does it irritate you when you're corrected for a mistake or a fault or a sin? That's pride. It's pride. It takes humility to receive correction. Here's another one. A superficial heart is an indication of pride. What I mean by this, a superficial heart is whenever our perception of ourselves is based on what others think about us. And so what we do is, rather than focusing our attention on the inward part, on our heart, we focus on those things that people see. So we choose to superficially manufacture attention based on the outward appearance and not on the heart. You know, this is dangerous. Do you live your life just so you can be seen of others to be good, or to be godly, or to be Christ-like? Do you live your life so that you can get the praise of men? That's a superficial heart. You're not really focusing on your heart. You're looking on the outward. As long as people are saying good things about you, you're good. And so you're focusing on that. But on this other things that are really important in your life, you neglect. So your Christian life becomes superficial. Here's another word, taking responsibility for success. You know, that may mean that I've lost sight of God's gracious and undeserved blessing in my life. You know, a lot of times God does things in our lives that we don't even pray for. Did you know that? Isn't that amazing when God does that? When you don't even pray and God does something just big and you're like, wow. It's like, God, you're there. You love me. You know, he reminds us of his goodness like that. What does it do? It breeds humility in our lives. We think, man, you know, it's not, this blessing didn't come because I'm somebody special or that I'm God's favorite. You know, when we are successful, whether it's in church ministry or it's in business or whatever, be careful about taking responsibility for that success. That's pride. Here's another one. Impatience is an indication of pride creeping up in your life. I had to really think this one through. This is, I believe, one of the ones from Jonathan Edwards, if I remember correctly. I was thinking about it. You know, if we're impatient in listening to what others have to say, that means you think that you're more important than them. You know, sometimes we get this sense of importance, that we're more important than others. So, I don't have time for you. You're not important. And being impatient with people, impatient to serve people, that's pride. This is my last one I'm going to share, and that is paying attention to a few and neglecting others. You know, pride prefers some people over others. You know, I want you to think about that one in context of our church. We're not to prefer some over others. In fact, he says we're to prefer others before ourselves. The Bible does teach that. You know, this could be illustrated like some people, they might prefer others because, you know, these people are great people or honorable people. And so when they get something from that, so they prefer them over others over here. They're not really giving them anything. They're not helping their image. You know, think about in a church, if you have somebody that's, for example, that like Brother PD was talking about, somebody like that comes in our church versus somebody that comes in, let's say that they're the new school, high school coach in town, for example, or the new banker that moved to town, or, you know, some people would like, well, let's go over here to this banker and let's really love on him because, you know, he could really help our church. You know, he's big in the community. He's a well-respected banker. He has money. But this other guy over here, he doesn't have nothing to give us as a church. In the eyes of God, let me ask you, which one is more important? They both have a soul whom Jesus died for. They're both important. You know, when we consciously or unconsciously pass over some and prefer others over them, it's pride. It's an indication of pride. The Bible teaches we're to love one another. Whoever you are, we're to love. We're to serve one another. That's more next week on humility, serving one another. But, you know, as we looked at these things here tonight, It's my desire that, as the psalmist said in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's what I want us to do tonight. I don't want you to be thinking about anybody besides yourself. I don't want you to be thinking, "Well, I know this one person really needs this message, or this person could use this point." Or no, that's not the purpose of the message. And my purpose is not to preach just to one person, because you know what? This is a message that hits everybody. Yes, I am focusing on you. Every one of you, including myself. You know, whenever I preach, I really don't want to be like just a hip shot, just hoping it hits something. When I preach, I hope it hits everyone. I mean, that's why we're here, is it not? I believe that more of us struggle with pride more than we thought. But I have good news. Confession of it is the beginning of the end of pride in our life. If we recognize one of these characteristics, we recognize, you know, there's some pride. If we really honestly say, "God, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." If we really honestly before God ask that, "God, search me, try me. See if there be any wicked way in me." Pride. "Lord, if there's pride in my life, show me that so that I can repent of it, so I can turn from it, so I can humble myself before you." You know, as I thought about this message on pride, it just reminds me we need to go back to the cross. You know, Philippians 2, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." It goes on in talking about Christ. Made himself of no reputation. Became a servant. What did he do? He humbled himself. Even to the death of the cross. I'm not quoting that passage word for word. I'm just jogging your memory to help you remember that what Paul spoke about Christ humbling himself. That passage has been called the humiliation of Christ. Though he was equal with God, though he was shared the glory of his Father, he left all that and he came into this world. He humbled himself. He became a servant. And he went to the cross. And if Christ humbled himself and went to the cross so that I could be saved, then I certainly should have humility in my life. I certainly should be one who hates pride in my life. You know, we should hate it in our life before we hate it in other people's lives. We need to fall at his feet. Just recognize his humility. It was his humility that saved us. You know, we were in our pride all lifted up when we heard the gospel and the Holy Spirit of God convicted us. Remember those days when you resisted the gospel, when you were fighting against God, when he was working in your heart? What is that pride? But he continued on and he worked in your heart until you humbled yourself and found Christ as your Savior. You know, this prominent preachers said, if you ever start to feel proud, just remember that soon after your body has been lowered into the grave, your family and friends will be eating potato salad and telling jokes, and you'll be history. I know that's pretty sad. Let's stand. Our Father, I know that I'm a proud creature, Lord, because I'm a sinner. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the cross, that it's at the cross that we can be saved as we humble ourselves. We come empty-handed before Christ, that we can have salvation. Lord, it's humility that is a requirement to be saved. But Lord, oftentimes after we're saved, in our struggle with the flesh, the world, we're tempted with the pride of life. We begin to feel ourselves important, more important than others. We begin to feel that we're sufficient without you, O Lord. O God, I pray tonight that you would help us all here tonight to just pray, Lord, search my heart. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. O God, I pray you'd help us to get rid of any indication of pride in our lives. Lord, that we might be lifted up. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.